what I put on the table at the start is that we have all the money we need. It's a matter of imagination and collaboration to get the job done. What I think we need to think about, number one, we have to tackle as a state and a nation the reality that we've abandoned the preparation of young people in healthcare and in education. We have shifted our resources from moving them from one generation to the next, moving them from one part of the generation to the other part. We do revenue transfers through health services to the old, we do social services to other parts of our generation. We've gradually moved away from dealing with the young in a progressive manner. And at some point in time, we have to understand that's causing us a national problem. It's going to why all the states are in desperate financial straits right now. So our get out on that front is in higher education, if we want to solve our funding issue, to solve some of the social care and healthcare issues that plague us right now. As long as healthcare continues to inflate at a 700 to 800% of the death rate, and the major corporations increase the pre-tax profits by 1,100%, we're not going to be solving our higher education budget problem. And I think we have to understand again that a lot of our issues in higher education are integrated with other issues in the states. Besides dealing with what I just mentioned, until we get home ownership correct in the United States, we will never solve the problem of financing K-12 or financing higher education. Just look at it this way. In California and across the United States, once Proposition 13 has passed, since 1978, the state has lost at least $90 billion in state revenue for property taxes. And those K-12 institutions turn to the states for more dollars. As we control property taxes up or down, affect home ownership, as we affect home ownership, affect the ability to pay local property taxes, or pay local property taxes, affect dollars available to the state. So the money is there, the issue is how do we tap it. Second big point is that we have to have an argumentative strategy that gives up alternative solutions and gives up nostalgia. That Harvard solutions are fairly obvious. When you take a look at a complex economical and educational institution and blame that on one or two people and say, if they were better folk or they sacrificed X, Y, and Z, this whole situation would be better. It's a classic example of scapegoating because they either were too stupid to recognize the systemic nature of the problems or afraid to cope with those things. That's a big issue. The other piece, and I think Rick was talking about this, is we have to give up, bury, we have a ceremony commemorating the master plan. It might have served an idea for a couple years, but we have to admit the following facts. It was never fully funded, and I'll just run through some instances of this. It presumed that there would be constant growth in the state of California of 2 to 3% a year, and that it would be a full employment state. It assumed that the CSU professorship would have no more than 37% of the people in a tenure track, and assumed that there'd be no remediation in CSU and UC. And it funded at a greater rate the wealthy kids who went to UC, and those kids who went to CSU, and those kids who went to CCC. Anybody who wants that plan re-verified and put on track, raise your hand. So it's one thing to want universally free tuition, it's another thing to want a master plan that was never fully funded, didn't work to the ideal purposes of the study. And for those of you who are here arguing that you want a system that is less bureaucratic, that is more focused on the individual institution, then the master plan is not made for you. So we need another model. So what would that model be? And I suggest a couple of things. Number one, based on what I heard before, it's not that we have to do away with the vertical systems and silos that are in CSU, CCC, UC. It's that we need to be more cooperative across our silos. We need to have more institutional autonomy as well, but I'll get to that in a second. Right now, what we're very good is at mildly optimizing the products that we produce at each university level. So we take a look at the students we want to get through the CSU and we do our best to improve the graduation rate. But what do we do to improve the graduation rate out of the K-12 system? What do we do to improve the teachers who go into that system? What do we do to improve and coordinate the social services that we provide through higher education and other institutions to those school districts? How are we working together on those sorts of things? And the answer is not well at all. So what we need to do is strike regional partnerships that will work together and inflect the vertical organization we have in our system. Because if we just rely on the silos of CSU, CCC, and UC to solve our educational problems, it's not going to occur. We have to work regionally across these institutions to get things done and work with K-12. And then, of course, we need, as people mentioned, more institutional freedom. But that's based on gaining trust. And we have to face the fact and deal with the fact that the state and the people have lost trust in what higher education produces. Been very good at proving, or mildly good at proving to people that we provide an education for individuals. But we are stepped away from helping to solve social problems that the people can see and take pride in. So if you would ask the people in the state of California, what's the average income of somebody who goes through the CSU or UC? What social problems have you guys solved recently? What issues have you solved in the local ecology of the state? What has your English department done to help people in the ghettos write better so they can make better pitches to the legislators and be better communicators among themselves? The answers would be, I don't know, they don't do that, and I don't care. If you want autonomy and you want the ability to be held to accountability, you have to regain trust, and that trust has been destroyed for any number of reasons. And until we work to get that back, you can't expect that we're going to be held to accountability standards that we would want. Then I think we have to look seriously at the accountability stuff, and what I heard today made a great deal of sense. What we need to do is align goals and incentives. I'll just give you two examples, and you don't have to agree with these, they're just two examples. If indeed one of our goals is the graduation rate, and we want to get people out in 6 years, then why would we be giving greater financial aid to students in the first year than we do in the second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, and sixth year? Why would we be doing that piece? Why would we not be inflecting financial aid so that we encourage people to transfer to community colleges, to the UC and CSU? Why would we not be funding the CSU and UC to take advantage of that transfer situation? Why don't we do those sorts of things? If you have one set of incentives and another set of accountability goals, then you're going to be in conflict with one another. And we have to use what W.E. Deming said a number of years ago, to think of accountability more as more than a set of measures. We have to think of it as a process that we need to improve. And we have to ask ourselves to what end. And if we're looking at improving the graduation rate from college in the United States and in California, we're not thinking of how the students begin in that process in the community colleges. We don't think about how they matriculate out of the high schools into that process. We're never going to get anything done. What is the larger process that we need done? What are the goals that all those people share? How can we work together on this piece? Because when we're pitched competitively against one another, we work against our common results that we're aiming for. So accountability is important, but we really have to rethink the practice that we do with this. Counting numbers, counting pins that we produce is not going to be it. Marks of cooperation, marks of shared goals will be the way to go on this sort of thing. And I think there are things we need to do in the academy itself. We have to capitalize on what we know about how students learn. We have to deal with the fact that the way many of us were taught was about a subject. We learned nothing about how students learn, we know nothing about how they write. We displayed no interest in doing that piece. That's like working in a factory, pardon the analogy, not knowing anything about the fabrication that you're working on at all. We're teaching people English, we're teaching them mathematics, we're actually teaching Sally and Sue and Richard. We're using pedagogy to do that. And very few of us have any idea of how to get that stuff done. The literature on learning is immense. It's rarely utilized in higher education in a systematic way. We opine about technology and we opine about the small classroom and the large classroom. We don't tap into any of this stuff at all. And until we do that, we're producing a student who will not benefit from the high-end learning we've achieved about learning itself in the United States over the last number of years. That means we have to be humble, we have to step out of our discipline, we have to work for others and learn how people learn, think collaboratively together on these sorts of things. Last thing that I'd say about this stuff is that basically we have to work together as an institution on common goals and think of how we can serve the region that we're in. This is a tricky business because we don't want to be isolated instances of education. What the United States has done well and badly at the same time is it doesn't have a system of education. It has isolated instances of education that are locked into bureaucracies. So we don't have a systematic way of educating people from K through college. That's been a strength and it's also been a weakness in our educational system. But what we need to do is make an improvement on that and begin to work together on some of those issues. If you come from Northridge, if you come from Fullerton, if you come from Cal State LA, how often have you had a serious discussion with colleagues in your own department about how students learn? How often have you had a discussion with colleagues across campus about what technology is being forced on you, what technology you really need? How often have you had a serious discussion with K-12 mm-hmm. partners, with community college partners? The answer is infrequently on that stuff. And that's not the way you make a better product, that's not the way you make a system work. So I think we're really camouflaging the issue from ourselves. We say it's money, and money is part of the deal, but it's not the whole deal. It's how we orient ourselves as a society, it's how we orient ourselves as a system, and it's how we orient ourselves as a university and as a department. So the good news is that it's all in our hands. The bad news is that it's all in our hands. The last piece that I'd add to this is it's not a matter, the only place where I differ with Professor Moore on this stuff, I think, is I don't find us in a chaotic situation that's unpredictable. I find us in a chaotic situation that's highly predictable. Under the current state of being, we know that there'll be less money available from the state for next year, and we know that would be the case after that, for any number of reasons. If we know those things, then you can't express surprise about them. So you need to just simply get the job done. You can't wait for anyone else to do it. It's like being on an airplane that is in trouble. You have to rebuild the plane step by step to keep it in the air. But I know we have the capability to do it. It's just a matter of getting the job done and doing it well and working together on this over the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years.